Matthew 5. All right. Let's read verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Now, that's the one we're going to look at this evening, and we'll see it. Now, we're studying in this series of how to reign in life. Not to reign in, if you will, but how to reign, how to have that power, if you will, over ourselves, over our own attitude, over our own spirit, and ultimately be happy and joyful Christians. We're learning how to rule over the servants God has given us for this life as servants of God. And we need to be able to rule over our own bodies and over material things. We studied that a little last week. And so the Lord told us very clearly what it is. We must now show mercy. The Roman world of that day did not admire mercy. They did admire justice. They admired courage. They admired self-control and wisdom, but not mercy. You ever studied some of the philosophers? I haven't really, but maybe you have. Mercy was not something that they highly touted on. It was all about what? Justice. It was power. It was strength. And we know that. They admired those things. It was something that was shameful. Slaves were treated like pieces of used furniture, one author put. And the position of women and children were far from ideal. If a woman gave birth to a daughter or a sickly son, the father had the privilege of rejecting the child and having it exposed to die or to death. A temperamental master could, in a fit of anger, maim or even kill one of his slaves. An enemy was an enemy, and the best enemy was a dead enemy. That's the Roman times in which Jesus is speaking. And that's very clear. We find that as you study. So we see that Jesus Christ, he began to change all of that. And he taught and he emphasized the practice of mercy. He commanded his disciples to show mercy. And he often would show it publicly. We know that. Our world today is far removed from the spiritually dead world in which this was. We're almost parallel to it, though, today. But Jesus gave us these great beatitudes. Now, let's look at what mercy is defined as. Well, Webster defines mercy as compassion or forbearance shown especially to an offender or to one subject to one's power. Compassionate treatment. It implies compassion that forbears punishing even when justice demands it. The first time mercy is mentioned in the Bible is in the story of God's destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, Genesis 19, let's go there. Genesis 19, if you have your Bibles there, still open. I hope you do. Genesis 19. This is the story, as you know, of Sodom and Gomorrah, particularly Lot and his family. Okay, Genesis 19, Verse 16, how about that? I think it is. No, 15. Can you go to 15? And when the morning arose, then the angels hasted Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, notice that, the men laid hold upon his hand and upon his the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto them. And they brought him forth and set him without the city, without the city. Now you think about this is the first mention in Scripture of mercy, and it's truly the mercy of God. It's the mercy of those angels that took him by the hand and said, listen, you've got to escape. Kids, listen, everyone listening. You've got to escape, right? You've got to come out. I don't want to destroy you along with the ungodly heathen. And truly in salvation, we know that mercy is truly something that God extends to all of us. We may obtain mercy, he says in Hebrews, especially. Now, anyways, we see it. Psalm 103, verse 8, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, plenteous in mercy. Micah 7, 18, he retaineth not his anger forever because he delighteth in mercy. God delights in mercy. He loves mercy, being merciful. Not so much myself, but I have a hard time with that. I'm sure some of you do. But God has two kinds of attributes. They're absolute and relative. Now, we've studied that before. but two types of his attributes. The absolute attributes tell us what God is like apart from us. Well, God is love, God is truth, God is holy. He's unchanging in that. That's an absolute. But we see a relative attribute tells us what God is like toward us. Well, truth becomes faithfulness, holiness becomes justice, love becomes grace and mercy. That's toward us. That's wonderful, isn't it? There is an absolute and a relative attribute. And those attributes that are relative, obviously praise God for that, because he extends them out to us. He demands his servants be holy and righteous, and he extends the grace and mercy to be able to fulfill that. We can't do it on our own. I can't be gracious, merciful. I can't be holy and right with God without his help. And God demonstrates his love to us by showing that grace and mercy to us. So clearly seen. No one is saved because God is love. We are saved because God's grace and mercy. That's his love in action. God could be love and yet not extend any of it to us, right? You could be faithful and he could be and not extend any of it to us. We know that. Okay, anyways. Mercy withholds what we do deserve. Now, the great word, people get confused. What is grace and mercy? What's the difference? Grace gives us what we do not deserve. That's forgiveness and eternal life. Mercy withholds what we do deserve. That's justice and eternal separation in hell, eternally separated. And he extends his mercy to us. So again, in our text, blessed are the merciful. Okay, now mercy defined, but mercy illustrated. We see it throughout Scripture. If you're still there, I don't have time for that. That's a long verse, but you can look it up on your Genesis 14, really the entire chapter. Abraham toward Lot when Sodom was captured. Now again, remember that story. Abraham extends his hand of mercy towards Lot. He should have, in essence, said, listen, I told you once, I told you twice, I've already rescued you once, I've already tried to help you, and you don't want to listen. But he didn't do that, did he? He continually extended mercy to him. Joseph toward his brothers in Egypt, Genesis 45. These are all great stories. I know you've read them many times. I hope you will. Joseph toward his brothers. We know that as he had the opportunity, we said several weeks ago, to put his foot on the neck of his brothers and destroy them and imprison them and really torture them if he wanted to. He didn't, did he? No, he loved them. He cared for them. He took them in and he said, God sent me here. God sent me here so that I would save much people alive. And you think about it, God sent me here to be tortured. God sent me here to be no doubt molested, no doubt all the things they did to those poor boys. He sent me here to go through all that so I could save. That's some mercy right there, isn't it? Boy, we know the truth. Now think about that. Both knew the truth about the ones causing them to suffer. They each had it within their power to retaliate, yet they chose to reserve the judgment to God and let him deal fully or finally with the person. Sin was not overlooked. Truth was presented so that repentance could result, but each suffered in order to withhold judgment from the others. God has done this very thing for us. Think about that. They both knew, both Abraham and Joseph knew these individuals, knew exactly what had caused them personally to suffer, especially with Joseph, but he extended his hand anyways. God, we see toward David and his sin. Okay, 2 Samuel 12 talks about that. 2 Samuel 12, if you're there. And notice what it says. Let's go there, 2 Samuel 12. And beside these verses, I'd encourage you to write out the word mercy or merciful. And 2 Samuel 12, let's go to verse 13. Now therefore, verse 13, am I in 2 Samuel? No, sorry, 1 Samuel 13. There we are. 12:13. I'll get it right here in a minute. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And what did Nathan say? Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. Thou shalt not die. Howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. So very tragic. But he says, I'm extending my hand, God, toward David. Very clearly, David's prayer concerning this is recorded in Psalm 51. He says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgression. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, he says. O God, thou wilt not despise. It's very clearly in Scripture that extended hand. Now, David would later extend his hand of mercy to others, didn't he? And we studied that a little bit. But as in case of with Saul, he had many opportunities to kill Saul. Later on, his own son would come after him with his own group of thugs. And they went to the prophet and said, should we go after my father David and his men? And the prophet said, I wouldn't do that. And he said, why? They're a bunch of old men. They're a bunch of old guys. He says, no, you know your father. He's a man of war. And you know his compadres. And he said, they're going to clean your clock. And they'll beat you up pretty bad. They'll probably kill you. You think about that. He extended mercy to all those people, didn't he? Oh, very clearly in Scripture. Okay, so many, many Scriptures. The Lord then, obviously, I don't need to emphasize, but I will. He extended mercy. He extended mercy to all of us. Not only to us, but you think about in Scripture, he extended it to those who arrested him and crucified him. He obviously did. At one point, the two thieves, in one account of the gospel, said they both turned and began to revile Jesus. Get us off the cross if you're truly the Son of God. Well, later on, what do we find? One of them actually turned and realized what was going on and said, have mercy on me, you know, Father, let me be with you in paradise. He said, today thou shalt be with me. And you think about, he just continually showed that it was his character. It's who he was. We saw it illustrated and put into action. Notice, though, thirdly, that mercy is practiced. To practice mercy, we must receive mercy from God. Luke 18:13, you don't have to turn there. Let me read it. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much his eyes into heaven. Well, what did he do? He beat his chest, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Be merciful. He said that man went down justified. The other guy that stood beside him and said what? Kids, do you remember that story? What did he do? He said what? I'm so glad that I give up my tithe and I'm so faithful and I'm such a good man of God, right? No, he's the one that went down. Jesus extended that to us. Titus 3:5. Oh, we're getting a good shower there. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, according to his what? Mercy. That's Titus 3:5. He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost. Very clearly. We practice mercy because God gave us mercy. God gave it. To practice mercy, then, secondly, we must exercise what's called meekness. As we studied that already, the meekness that we have. It begins with pain. We suffer unjustly at someone's hand. It recognizes our power. It is natural to retaliate. It does not cancel truth. They deserve to be hurt. We know that. Or to retaliate. It allows love to temper justice and show mercy. We studied that already. I won't belabor it. But we must exercise the meekness in order to obtain the mercy. This requires faith. Proverbs 20:22, say not thou, I will recompense evil, but wait on the Lord. He shall save thee. He shall save thee. So the merciful, man, that's a heavy one. I hope we don't got any leaks in here, do we? I was preaching one time in a church, in another church, and a rainstorm came on it. And it started to drip right on the head. This guy was bald and right on his head. And he was looking up and he was doing that. And he got all upset. They were all mad. And I was like, sorry, apologize, you know, sorry about that, sir. Didn't realize we had a leak there. But all right. Okay, let me wrap it up here. Blessed are the merciful. To reign in life, we must let God handle the offenders who sin against us. Oh, that's easy to say, hard to do, ain't it? The merciful, merciful. Kids, this is good for us. I included myself, right? Brothers and sisters, we got to extend mercy to them, don't we? Yes. Amen. You wanna just poke them right in the eyeball, but you can't. You got to be nice, right? Merciful. We must understand that. Again, what is the beatitude? It's our attitude that we should have as children of God. It is what we should have to reign in life, to rule in that way, to have control, to be above the rest in regards to them and what all that means. Let God handle the offenders. If we take it into our own hands, we become slaves to them and then cease to reign in this life. Proverbs 11:17. As we see, the merciful man doeth good to his own soul, but he that is cruel troubleth his own flesh. That's what people do. They don't care for their own selves, their own bodies. They just dealing with some folks that have some drug addiction and other problems. Well, they mistreat their bodies so poorly, so badly, and they just treat it. I mean, it's so bad. But you think about it, there's no mercy. And I guarantee you, every time I talk to one like that or try and help them, they are not merciful to other people. It's always about them, you know. Well, they offended, they hurt me, they this and that, that and this. It's true, it's true. And you see it. They trouble their own flesh. Luke 6:36, be ye therefore merciful as your Father in heaven, or Father also is merciful. Be merciful. He's our truth. He's our truly truth example. He's our example we look to, obviously, when we practice the mercy. We're practicing one of the attributes of God. Mercy puts us into the place of God in somebody's life. Puts us in the place of God in somebody's life. Be careful how I say that. Right? It shows other people, boy, that man knows the Lord. That's how a Christian acts. That's how a person that knows the Lord should act and how it is. Okay? We practice that. And so seeing that, the Beatitudes begin with the right attitude towards self. Let me remind us, blessed are the poor in spirit. Then it is the right attitude toward my sin, they that mourn, followed by the right attitude towards God's word, blessed are the meek. This creates a deep desire for God's righteousness as we hunger and thirst after that. And He gives it to us when we trust Christ. The first three Beatitudes are preparation for the miracle of the fourth one, when we have the faith to receive the very righteousness of God. Now, having that righteousness in us and receiving that, we begin to be God-like. Notice that. Blessed are the that hunger and thirst after righteousness, they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful. What's happening now? We become God-like. We start to act like and become like Him. And that's the true example. That's a rule. That's what we ought to go after. Let this mind be in you, which also is in Christ Jesus, right? We are the ones. We should go after that mindset, following Him. In His Steps, a great book put out many, many years ago, many decades ago, following His steps, following what Christ left for us and looking towards being what He's called us to be. Okay, let's see here. Well, I've got many verses there. Let me keep going. We receive the righteousness. We're followers of God as dear children, He says in Ephesians 5. Having received the divine nature, we begin to show His divine attributes, His mercy, one of his children. The divine nature. We have a divine nature about us, or we should. We reap what we sow, the Bible says, and we receive mercy when we extend mercy. Matthew 5:7, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain the mercy. Okay? Now, let me close with this here, and I'll wrap it up with my last 15 points. No, my last. I got one more point here. He says in Psalm 37, I've been young, I've been old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread, right? He said, I've been young, I've been old, I've watched people, and I've not seen them forsaken. They're always taken care of. But then he closes with this. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. He's talking about that individual. He's merciful. He extends a hand of forgiveness, a hand of mercy, extends a hand of love and grace, and it says it's returned back upon him. Not everybody we're merciful towards will respond with mercy. Not everyone we give mercy towards deserves that mercy, definitely. But as we live, being Christ-like, God-like, we extend it to him. We follow through with that. Okay? Now, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Well, we want mercy. I need to obtain that. I don't know about you, but I need mercy. Oh, I need it every day. I want to obtain it. I want it in my bag. I want to hold on to it. I need it. I need it from people because I'm going to foul up, man. I'm going to mess up. And I need people to be merciful towards me. I'm not going to say the right thing all the time. I need people to be merciful. I'm not going to do what I'm supposed to do all the time. Him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it's sin. I need people to be merciful towards me. I'm not going to be what I should be. I'm not going to share the gospel with everybody. Everybody. I'm supposed to. I need mercy from God. And one day when I stand before Jesus Christ, I know this, I'll need the mercy of God, right? My sins are forgiven. I'm saved. And so I know I have that, but I need His mercy because I failed to do what I was supposed to do. I failed to follow this book as I was supposed to do it. And praise God, God is an ever merciful God, and He loves us, and He cares for us, and He wants to see us succeed. He does. He's not against us. Why does God always put bad things in my life and try and trip me up all the time? No, he doesn't. That's your own sin. That's your own stupidity. A mind. I'm speaking to myself. That's what it is. He's there to help me succeed. He's constantly working to help me succeed. And if he allows some times of difficulty and challenges, it's for my own good, to strengthen my own spiritual muscles to help me succeed, right? To get better, to do better. He allows criticism into my life from other people I feel is unwarranted and unnecessary. You ever have that? They just criticize you for no reason. And all you try to do is help. What's it for? He's trying to help me. He's trying to develop me. He wants me to reign in life. Not that reign, the other reign. He wants us to reign. So again, I'll close with that. Blessed are the meek, they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. We're going to see, I'm going to start putting a couple of these together so we won't go too long next week. Okay. But blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. That's a good one. We're going to look at that next week. Real good. I like that one. I hope you are practicing and working at your Beatitudes as I have tried to. I fail a lot, but working towards this. The great introduction to the great Sermon on the Mount that Jesus gave. And he starts out with the right attitude we ought to have. And it shocked the people. At the end, they said, "We're astonished." Well, why is that? Because you preach or teach as one that has authority and not as the scribes. He says, "I'm the one that has authority. You answer to me. You follow me. I have the words of life. He that hath the words of life, the one you want to follow, the one you want to follow after." And I hope you do, okay? I'll be praying for you to extend mercy. Help me and pray for me that I'll extend mercy just the same, okay? All right, let's pray. Lord, thank you for this evening. I know that we've got a very busy week ahead of us, Lord, and I thank you for these that have come out. Lord, I pray for our families. I pray that you'd watch over our families, be with our children, help each one of them. They face challenges that we may not know about. Some of our older kids, some teenagers and others, they face some really challenging times in this wicked world. I pray you put your hedge about them, protect them. Lord, I pray you'd be with our smaller children. Lord, give us the strength as parents to direct them and influence them in the right way. Help our marriages. Lord, I pray for your hand of blessing upon our marriages. Strengthen us there. It's not easy. It's, Lord, we know the world's fighting. The adversary's fighting. We need your help and strength, God. All of us do. We ask that you'd guide us there. Be with those that are traveling and out and about, others that are not feeling well. Be with them. Thank you again for this day and for our mothers and those that were here today, grandmothers and ladies. I'm so grateful for their faithfulness, Lord, and their faithful attention to us and helping us as men, and we praise you for that. Guide us now this week. Please protect us. Bring us back safely on Wednesday, if it be thy will. We love and thank you again for a day in your house. In Jesus' name, amen.